Internet. If anybody wants to go back and listen to any of the old services, they're on bbcib.com. It'll be the first page that comes up. You can listen to me talk and sing hymns if you don't get enough of me once a week. Right, let's pray and then let's sing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. And I pray, Lord, for your presence this morning amongst us. Lord, you promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be there in the midst. And we hold you to that this morning. Please, Lord, be with our absent friends and brethren. Please be with our lost family members. Lord, please be with Israel very especially. And please, Lord, let your influence be felt in the corridors of power that are walked in every country in the land. You know all that's going on. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us, for your word, for your son, for your attention, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Please bless this time in your presence and around your word. And Lord, I pray our prayers, our praises, our tithes and offerings, and our fellowship, and everything that goes on here, Lord, would be worthy in your sight. We love you and thank you. We ask all of these things, along with private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Let's take the wee black book, and we will start with hymn number 13, Guide Thee, O Thou Great Jehovah. That is a good old hymn. Hymn number 13, Guide Thee, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let's make a joyful noise as we sing this grand old hymn.
Bye.
that's definitely a four verse hymn, but sometimes when you're singing that, that should be a five verse hymn. That is a good, good old hymn. Right, we're switching books to 185. If you'd like to take a turn there, just give me a moment while I get my C&I glasses on. I'm sure Neil gets a laugh out of that every time I swap glasses in church. Amen. 185, if you're able, let's stand as we sing. If not, remain seated, but let's at least make a joyful noise before we sing about my Saviour's love.
Up in the the Presbyterian Church in Drummer Hope. It never seems to fade with the weather. And this is what I'm reading. So Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not be feared, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains snake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms removed. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, the desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen.
Thank you.
Well worth a read. In fact, I wouldn't even fault you if you read through them as we went through the announcements. But very, very good verses. Well worth thinking on, especially when things in the world seem to be against you. Amen. Just want to remind everybody that it is the 19th. It's the last week for the little green prayer list. And I'd like to take a moment and just open the floor for any prayer requests that anyone would like added to this. Yes, Will?
Health check,
yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm certainly be praying about that. Anybody else got any other... Yes, Mrs. Bradford. Yes, indeed.
I think she's not in there.
She is. Please do pray with Pearl Hetherington. She took a little turn. I think we mentioned that last week. Took a little turn Thursday week ago, and she's been back and forth to the hospital over concerns about high sugars and a possible series of TIAs. It's either one or the other. So please do pray for Pearl. She is a dear old Christian lady. She loves to talk, but she also loves to talk about the Lord. So please do pray for Pearl. She's in her mid
86.
She's in her mid 80s. She's 86 years old. And her health is failing her somewhat. She's still able to get up and about, but we'd appreciate your prayers for her.
Pearl.
Pearl, yes, indeed. I think Beryl's on there somewhere, isn't she?
No, the old blood pressure is not good.
Oh dear.
She went to the diabetic clinic and the blood pressure was 200 over 200 and the bottom line was 94. That's all I had to know about.
Goodness.
And that's and she's already
good.
On two blood pressure tablets. And I was like, hey, that's not.
The only other time I ever heard of someone with a heart rate that high, they were in hospital on a machine. That was certainly pray for Pearl.
Or Pearl.
Please pray for Pearl. Anybody else got any? Yes, ma'am.
My neighbor, Joyce Walker. Sepsis, not close, last week.
And there.
Can't see it. She doesn't believe in God. Well, she says she does, but she's not. Previously said she didn't, so I don't know what's going on. So just pray for her and her husband Albert. 83 years of age, and he's 88.
Okay, Joyce Walker, is that the lady right across the road from you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pray for Joyce and Albert Walker. Need to be saved before it's ever too late. At the risk of rehashing a little bit of my own personal history, I got sepsis when I was 54, And I remember the doctor saying to me, "Mr. Branfield, you're not a young man anymore. You're going to have to take it easy for a few months." So when I hear people in their 70s and 80s and 90s getting sepsis, I really do be concerned. So please do pray for Joyce Walker, for her salvation above all else, and obviously for her health as well. That's Norman's letter. Anybody else got anything more? Any more from anybody else? Well,
a co-worker called Catherine, her dad had a heart attack in the world.
Private prayer requests. Anybody that still has a private prayer request, if you want to put your hand up. Okay. I do believe John has Catherine and his daughter Rebecca coming back from Manchester, was it? Not this morning. We thought we weren't going to have the pleasure of John's company, but he got his AMs and PMs mixed up, which is easy to do, and he is able to be with us. Please do pray for his family as they fly back from Manchester. Only into City of Derry, is it?
We're Belfast.
Oh, that's not so good for later on tonight. That makes for a slightly longer evening. Please pray for safe travels for them. I'll put that down. All right. Is there anything else you need to add? Anybody got any thanks? God done anything for you this week? Thank you for work. Well, the Bible says work's good for us. Yes, Chris.
Can't be on my feet.
Yep. Doesn't seem to matter so much whenever you're young men like Will and John there, but whenever you get older, it is a blessing to be able to get up out of your bed and make a cup of tea. Have you got one there, Norman?
Yeah, thank you for renewed energy. Restored energy.
Amen. God's good. It certainly is. All right. Nothing else? We'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing a song. Well, I hope you were taking notes as diligently as I was. Would you be able to pray for us? Let's close our eyes and pray.
Well, Father, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful, wonderful that you've given us, Lord. It's been through Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the prophet to us. Most of God, just those mighty prophets that stand there, they be exalted in this land and throughout the world, Lord, as it is due to you, Lord. Lord, see those mighty prophets, Lord, probably the word of life, and by talking to people, but also by the tracks and all communication through the internet and through any other means, Lord, that your word may be contained throughout the world, Lord. Just those mighty parts, Lord. Your vassal God, wherever may be, your friend, keep safe and well, Lord. Keep safe and bring them back to us, Lord, and help them by the end of this work and we're from keeping as well, Lord. Also, good for our call, wherever it is, deliver from any trouble, keep them safe and well, Lord, and draw them back as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, John, bring John back to church, and all our churches as well, Lord. I see a mighty work in their lives, Lord, for salvation as well, Lord. Also, we have Catherine, keep her safe and well, and Rebecca as they come over on the flight from Manchester, keep them safe and well, deliver from any trouble, Lord, any problems, Lord, take them away, Lord. We have them to keep them safe and well. Also, we have John Bradfield, if from any trouble, Lord, help them find their path, Lord, and help them as well, Lord. We have Stephen Pat, Lord, we're mighty church again, Lord, give Stephen his health condition, Lord, heal mightily in part, Lord, when he has come, Lord, only as only that he can. We mark this come to deliver the gospel, Lord, and Lord, give us a message straight to our day to day walk, Lord. Lord, give us grace, and Lord, send thy spirit and help us mightily and powerfully. That's the service, Lord. For thy honor, Lord, we just press again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Thank you, folks. Those will be incorporated into our prayer list for next week. as long as the secretary of the church remembers, that would be more an issue for me than for the secretary of the church. Amen. But we didn't. Let's scoot back to the wee black book. And we will go to number one. Number one in the wee black book is another grand old hymn, How Great Thou Art. We remain seated as we sing. Number one in the wee black book, How Great Thou Art. Let's make a joyful noise. Good old hymns, amen. 111, 111 in the big book, This is one called Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. And if you're able, would you join me in standing as we sing hymn number 11 in the big books, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. So murderers, liars, thieves, robbers, destroyers, and a saviour. We are in John chapter 10 this morning, and I'd like to read the first 21 verses of this little bit of God's word. And I hope that you would join me there. As you open your Bible and read it, and you see the words in red, that means these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ, the words that the Lord spoke that were remembered by his disciples and the apostles around about him, even as he spoke them. And I am sure they're not exactly, because some people's recollections change one from another, but they're there for a reason. They're there because we need to hear and hear each and every one of them. And again, Whenever you read the Bible, whether it be the red letters or whether it be the black letters, that is God speaking from the hands of men 2,000 years ago to you personally right now. I hope this is a help to you. The Word of God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow him, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division again among the Jews for these sayings. Sorry, I left the word there. Was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Amen. We are taking as our text verses 10 and 11 and a few of the other things that the Lord says about himself, but the title for the message is Murderers, Liars, Thieves, Robbers, Destroyers, and a Savior. Let's have a word of prayer very quickly, and then we will continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the preservation of your word, for the freedom that we still have to meet together in your house. And I pray you please for your company, your inspiration, and your wisdom and understanding for everybody here this morning. And not just for us, Lord, but for your children wherever they are, that they would receive their daily bread. You know all of our needs, Lord, whether we need a lifting up, a quickening up, a slowing down, a chastening, a blessing, a comforting, or a strengthening. I pray that you would supply the needs of each one of us here today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you most of all for the free gift of everlasting life. And we pray you please, Father, for your good hand upon each one of us this morning. Please bless the preaching and teaching of your word, wherever it's heard, and the hearers of it too. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. If you have been in Bethel for any length of time, you will know But whenever we get to John chapter, whenever I get to John chapter 10 in my own personal readings, that there's probably going to be a message about it in the church service. And the reason for that is, it's not for any of the verses that we have spoken, although they are very important, it's for a few verses later on, which very succinctly explains even still the stand of every soul that is saved, that ever has been saved. And it is this: the Lord said, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and I give unto them everlasting life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand." And it goes on to say, "The Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And that is how God, the Father and the Son, keep you. No man, it also refers to the devil as a man in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 14. Is this the man who caused nations to tremble? Nobody, not even our own stupid selves, can remove our salvation from us. And that, whenever I joined Bethel, it made the world of difference to me. Because I knew I had been saved, but because I had been listening to some of these murderers and liars and thieves that stand in the pulpits, I didn't believe that until it was brought to me in the Word of God. And that, just like the Lord said in verse number 10, He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that's exactly what He delivered to me on that day. Freedom at last from bad preaching and the burden of sin that I have been persuaded to take up again. Anyway, as we open this portion of God's Word, we see a much repeated set of circumstances where the Lord is contending with, even preaching to, the scribes and the Pharisees. And He is doing so using shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds, where they used to keep the sheep. It used to be they would make a big hedge of thorns, and there would be enough in there to keep the sheep in, and there would be a door to it. And the porter or the shepherd would work the door. And if you had any sense, and you were honest-to-goodness person, you could knock on the door and the porter would let you in. But if you were about devilment and badness out to harm the sheep, you would be trying to get in another way so that the defender of those sheep couldn't get in. This is exactly what Jesus is telling these people. Unfortunately, He was preaching to the religious elite who had power in this world, who had a position in society. They literally got all of their money, depending on how many people they got into the church, by hook or by crook. And you know what? When you preach the gospel to people that are supposed to be preaching the gospel but are not, especially those that make their living on it, you threaten their ego. You make them appear to be wrong. And so as a result of this, they would be scratching their heads and calling him a liar or a pretender or even a false prophet, like we saw at the tail end. He's got a devil, they said. Of course, others said, devils don't say things like this. They don't talk about getting right with God and God loving His people and offering the free gift of salvation. And anyway, who's ever heard of someone opening the eyes of one born blind? So the Lord challenges them. And this, as I said, many times when you come to church, it seems like the guy behind the pulpit is pumping the pulpit and pointing the finger at everybody in the church. But this time, the finger's pointing at me, at the guys in the pulpits. He says, "Can you not understand? It's not about you," Jesus said. "It's about the sheep. It's about the people. It's about the congregation." Somebody once said, ministers is a job title. It's not an aim for the congregation to minister to the fella in the pulpit. It is the fella in the pulpit's job to minister to the congregation. Now the Lord does talk about the standards of a shepherd, of a pastor, of a minister. And he says there's two different types. He uses himself as a great shepherd, as a great pastor. And he says, I am the good shepherd, because the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I don't know if you remember another shepherd in the Old Testament who was quite happy to stand between his sheep that he was charged with and the lion and the bear. And he was only a young fellow, because they never put the older sons out to look after the sheep. That was David, who was soon to be the slayer of Goliath and then the king of Israel. It says that he caught the lion by its beard, and he stuck a sword in it, and he plucked one of the lambs out of the lion's mouth and the bear's mouth. That's the good shepherd that stands between you and trouble and warns. That doesn't mean that I'm going to come in with a crook and put it around your neck and point you in the right direction, because it's up to each one of us to listen to God and go in the right direction. But the Lord gives the standards. These guys, he says, these hirelings, whenever the going gets tough, they're gone. They're like snow in a ditch in the winter, in the summer, sorry. They're gone. But people that love the Lord, the people that have a real calling to the Lord, they will suffer through thick and thin. They will keep hammering on, and they will keep praying. And some people might say, well, there have been ministers that have fallen. And there have been, because ministers are people too. But I heard another man say that it's very hard to fall when you're on your hands and knees in the presence of God. God says, Jesus said, he and those that emulate him, that follow him, are good shepherds. They preach that gospel. Not only that, the sheep will know the shepherd, and the shepherd will know the sheep. Does anyone ever recall to mind a little verse of scripture that tells us that whenever we meet another Christian, or indeed someone that isn't a Christian, that the spirit that is in me will bear witness with the spirit that is in a Christian that they are a Christian, or in the person that isn't a Christian, that they aren't a Christian. As my dad used to say, you'll know what somebody's like within a few seconds of talking to them. And there's an element of that to it, but there's a deep spiritual side to that as well. God knows his sheep. And God's sheep should know him. I do know that there are people, I was one of them, that was saved in a charismatic church, saved out of some perversion of the Bible. Maybe it was the good news for modern man. I was no Bible scholar at the time. All I knew was that I needed to be saved, and I needed to be shown how to get saved. And the preacher at the time, he just said, you have to tell God you're sorry for your sins and mean it from the bottom of your heart and ask him to save you yourself. And that's exactly what I did. Now, it is an interesting thing that even though a soul can be saved, we can still be fooled. And that is why this book has been divinely preserved. And do you know who the greatest haters of the Bible are? They're ministers. There are ministers and churches that will refuse the King James Bible. There are Bible companies that will insist on giving you the NIV for free, and it has a copyright, and selling you the King James Bible, which is copyright free, to make sure the King James doesn't get out there. This book has been promised to us by the God that cannot lie. It will always be here. So whenever we, with the Son of God that saved us, and the Word of God that will keep us, and the Holy Spirit that will point us in the right direction and help us remember the Word of God, have someone come into the church, or even listen to someone on the internet or on their phones or TV, and they start telling you all sorts of yarns, you'll know. Because you'll be saying, the Bible doesn't say that. I remember a man coming to Bethel, must be 10, 15 years ago, who stood in this pulpit and said, You can't be saved out of any Bible except the King James Bible. Now, I was in doing Sunday school, and one of the members of the congregation came and told me, and I had to go and challenge him on it and say, I wasn't saved out of the King James Bible, but I'll tell you one thing, I grew into the Christian I am through the King James Bible. All of the other Bibles have errors in them. The King James doesn't. The Lord said, I am the door. That's the only way into the God, to be one of God's sheep. That might sound like a bit of a downstep for us, but better to be a servant in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Far better to be a servant of the King of Kings than to serve the king of this world. Anyway, there's one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says here, he's the door. I'm the door, Jesus says. If you want to be one of my flock, you need to go through me. You need to repent of your sins. You need to accept me as your Savior. That seems simple and straightforward. Monica was saved when she was, well, not much more than an infant, 4 or 5 years old. I was saved when I was 23. That's a fair old difference. My dad was saved when he was 70, out of the Presbyterian Church, despite all of their teachings. It took him to have my mum suffering a stroke in Venice, and me over there with him, kneeling at the foot of a bed with him, wondering what he was going to do, to bring him to the point at the end of himself that he knew he needed God. And he's a different man. 70 years of bad teachings. He's a different man whenever he got a hold of God and let God get a hold of him. There's only one way. He's the door. He's the manner of salvation. He is the foundation of salvation. He is the inspiration for us in this word as we go on in this life. Every other way is designed to rob you of anything that you have, to steal from you when you're not looking, and eventually, knowingly, intentionally abandon you to a sinner's hell. That's what they're for. Because all of the things that these other organizations do is they insert themselves between you and God. And all of the praise and the glory and the tithes and the offerings and the efforts and the years of your life that you give to that organization should have been given to God, never get there. And neither does God's free salvation come back to you, because you are told to work for your salvation in one form or fashion or another. You may think, well, that doesn't sound too bad. The thing about it is, those folks go laughing all the way to the bank, and the souls in church go laughing all the way to hell with everything of your life, maybe even your family as well. And I don't know about you, but it is an awful thing to find out that you have been lied to, cheated upon, or robbed. It is awful. That is a blow to the heart. And sometimes there are people that say, it's too much. And they refuse to go any other way. They refuse to accept the bitter truth and would rather suck on and chew down on a sweet lie. The Lord said, some of you are only in it for the easy times and the good times. But whenever it gets down to rolling up your sleeves and sitting at a sick bed, Or pushing a mower up somebody's grass, or taking a spade or a shovel, or spending the hours in prayer, you guys are nowhere to be seen. To be honest with you, for souls that would do this to another soul, I think it is beyond them, because you need the Holy Spirit in you before you can stand in God's presence and bear your heart to him. I believe that 100%. The Lord will hear maybe one or two prayers from a lost person. That's, Lord, show me. There's supposed to be a Lord up there. That out from Portadown stands at the front of the church, and he says there's a God up in heaven. Lord, would you show me? And then I think the other prayer that the Lord hears from a lost man is, would you save me? Show me and save me. Now the Lord challenged them on a few of these things, and I am sure, even though they pretended not to know, because sure as shooting they were wheeling and dealing and planning to have him killed or locked up afterwards. But he gave them one more. How would you put it? One more factor, one more point, one more thing that they couldn't do. And he said, I am the good shepherd. He says, put this in your pipe and smoke it, he says. I have the power to lay down my life. In other words, Jesus could switch off his body. That's what Jesus, you and I can't do that. We can hold our breath until we're quite literally blue in the face and we pass out. But as soon as we pass out, our brain says, boy, you're stupid, and starts breathing again for us. It's called our autonomic nervous system. It will keep running. I know there are some people that have faults with their bodies, yes indeed, and they need to be made to breathe. But generally speaking, you can't do what Jesus said he would do. And you certainly, once you're dead, and in the grave for 3 days, take your life back again. I'm going to tell you what the Old Testament says. It says, whenever you die, your life is over. Your body goes back to the dust. Your spirit, the spark of life, goes to him that gave it. And your soul goes to the place that you chose whenever you were walking and talking about this world. It is important. Now, we can't do that. The life belongs to the Lord. It is given to us for a little while. Jesus said, I can do that because I'm God Almighty. And we know that 3 days after he was nailed to the cross and gave up the ghost, that he raised himself from the dead again. Not for us, but I kid you not. I have seen guys work in farms. We have a few farm people here. I am sure you've seen your fair share of dirty Wellingtons. You certainly wouldn't walk around the farm in your bare feet, or feed the hogs, or go in and feed the chickens or the cows. You wouldn't do that. But that's what walking in this world was like for Jesus. Every time he looked at someone, he saw sin and death. But more than that, he saw a soul worth saving. And so he came back. Proved himself alive for 40 days and nights to over 500 people. It is an incontrovertible historical and legal fact that Jesus raised himself from the dead. And to prove he was God, he did miracle after miracle, time and time again. Does anyone remember one of the biggest miracles that God did in the Old Testament? Feeding the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert? There were not just 5,000, there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands at one point. And he fed them for 40 years. Their clothes never wore out. I'm going to tell you something. I am not hard and stuff, but I have pairs of shoes that are 25 years old. And I'm still walking about in them, kicking about in the farmyard. They're relegated to work shoes, but they're still going. God has made good a little bit to me in that respect. I'm not sore and stuff, or stuff's lasting long. God did that for the 4,000 men and the 5,000 men. Remember God used to do that in the Old Testament? Here's an example. Remember God called fire down from heaven? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Remember, was it Elisha and the prophets of Baal? Fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifices? Do you remember what Peter said when one of the towns wouldn't have Jesus come in? Said, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven and destroy them? Jesus said, these people are already destroyed. They're condemned already. We're here to save them, not to destroy them. Said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Remember how the people that he healed, Naaman the leper, he keeps popping up from time to time. The widow woman of Sarepta's son brought back to life. The feeding of Elijah in the wilderness with the crows, the animals, being commanded to bring him meat and bread and get the water from the river. God, Jesus Christ, did all of those and more when he walked on the face of this world. One of the ones I thought, well, he never walked on the water in the Old Testament. But he commanded whole seas to be parted and for them to stand up. And the children of Israel walked through them. And then he commanded the waters to stay exactly where they were whilst he stood on them. God that walked and talked to the children of Israel in the New Testament is the same God that walked and talked and dealt with the people in the Old Testament. And you need to know, it wasn't for his benefit he did it. It was for ours. Does anyone recall to mind, I think it was at the very end of Genesis chapter 1, the last words that God said, as he looked on his creation, he said, it was very good. And I am sure when he looks on it now, he is not thinking it is very good, not one little bit. For all the things that we have said and done and thought, it is not. God is all about gathering the good out of the bad, about seeing the bad souls that are lost going to heaven. That's what God wants. Everybody see it. But everything happens at his expense. It's all on his tab. Jesus paid it all on the cross, and many people think that's that. But all the way through the Old Testament, God was speaking to the prophets and telling them to write down things that they didn't know. But he said, write them down faithfully, just like I told you, because in 2,000 years, in 3,000 years, people are going to look at that and say, that's crazy. That a man 2,000 years ago, before you could even flip a switch on a wall and have electricity coming into the house, was talking about moving images or seeing things from across the world. I like to think too of God commanding the snakes in the Old Testament, commanding the quail in the Old Testament, the other animals. Whenever he commanded the fish to hop into the nets to prove he was God, or onto a hook to pay his taxes to the tax collectors. All done by God for us, so we can look at him and understand who was right, who was wrong, and choose the right rather than the wrong. Now, I know in this present day we have a new wave, in quotes, of Christian believers. That love the love and want the good times and want the ice cream and they want the blackberry and apple crumble. But they don't want the getting up early and they don't want the rolling up of their sleeves and they don't want the times on their knees in the presence of God. That's not the way God works. It's not the God of the Bible. Yes, there is loving kindness. It is one third of God's personality. The Lord said, I'm the God of loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, because in these things I delight, saith the Lord. But people don't want the other two. They don't want a finger pointed at them or a light shone on them to be shown they're wrong. A lot of people say, I don't like the God of the Bible because he commanded whole countries to be wiped out. Remember what the Lord said. No men, no women, no children, no babies, no with child, every single one of them is to be put to the sword. And that seems pretty harsh to me. But when we look at it through God's eyes, is anybody following any of the politics at the moment? And over the past few years, Germany almost accomplished with the thrust of a pen what they couldn't do with the thrust of a sword 75 years ago. They almost accomplished ruling over Great Britain and the rest of Europe until Nigel Farage and his cohorts dug their heels in and said, we're not having anything to do with you anymore. All you want to do is run this neck of the woods. We're not having it. don't understand or don't see things all the time the way God does. That all of those people who have never caused bother, who have never murdered people, who have never kidnapped or abused a child, who have been good to their parents, good to their spouses, good to their children, faithful in work, turned up at church, put money in the plate, can still go to a sinner's hell. Not believe in a false gospel, just not believe in all the gospel. And there's going to be more in a sinner's hell from this generation, from this era of man, than there ever went into a sinner's hell back in the Old Testament. Not because they were wicked and put to the sword. People only go to hell when they refuse to accept God as their Savior. That's the only thing that puts them in hell. Do you not think the God that we worship, that knows all of our thoughts and will weigh them in the balances, as some people want them to do? All of our words are recorded, which will give account of every idle word, and all of our deeds. Do you not think the God that knows these things in us, that has written things down here that only apply to us today, could not see the end of these cities that were wholly given over to pagan worship, to idolatry, to human sacrifice? Do you not think he could? At the sea of a lot of fuss, he said, kill them all. I can't have that in the world. That would creep in and spread like a rot. And before you know it, the children of Israel would be doing it. And of course, we know that they did. You might think, well, Pastor, I am not that fond of that sort of preaching, but I need to tell you something else before we finish. Every single soul from those places that trusted in God was saved. Every single one that feared the God of the children of Israel and trusted the God of the children of Israel was saved. Anyone remember a wee woman by the name of Rahab? Well, Rahab was a wonderful woman. Rahab was a prostitute. She was a whore. But she still had an idea that the God of the children of Israel was right, and the gods that they worshipped in the town were evil. And she had a promise from the scarlet thread let down through the window. Everybody that is in your house when we come will be saved. And anybody that had faith enough to go into that house was saved. Ruth the Moabitess in the book of Ruth were forbidden from joining the congregation of the children of Israel, but she believed, and she was written into the line of King David. This is the God of the Bible, and he hasn't changed. He gives us so much time. He shows us so much patience. But I came across a very interesting little quote, and it was on the internet, and I can't for the life of me remember where from, but says there comes a point when people have been told the same thing so many times over such a period of time that even if you give them incontrovertible physical proof that what they believe is wrong, they're not interested. They won't believe it. And God knows that. Men may have just discovered that, but God has known that forever. Now, before you get me wrong, I'm not standing up here and saying Bethel Baptist Church is the best church in the world. It is very likely subscribed to, let me tell you, for a very good reason. Because we live in the days that the Lord said the love of many would grow cold, the love of many Christians would grow cold, because of sin and iniquity in their lives. I'm not giving off about the Muslim church, or the Catholic church, the Protestant church, or should I say, I'm not just giving off about the churches, not the people in the church, but the organization. There's the JWs, there's the Latter-day Saints of the Mormons, there's the Seventh-day Adventists, there's all the pagans, the spiritualists, the charismatics, even Baptist churches. I remember coming across a Baptist church in America that was just the same as any other worldly church out there in the world. They kept the name and they adopted their teaching. them, most of them, have you and me doing all the running, and all the working, and all the giving, and all the sacrificing, trying to find a way to live with the uncertainty and the, what do they call it, an existential dread in the back of their minds that they know they're not right with God and they don't know where they're going when they die. Robbing you of any peace and any joy. And all that you're left to do is do the best you can. That's no good for anybody. It'll certainly put food in your plate and a roof over your head, but it won't get you to heaven. That was the case. When you get to heaven, God will look at you and all that you've done and might let you in. Because the Bible does say, all the books of the works are opened and God looks at the books of the works. But then he says, is there name in that other book, the book of life in Revelation 20? He said, no, Lord. And they're cast into the lake of fire. When the Christian gets to heaven, God looks at the Christian and sees the work that his son Jesus Christ did. And that is a 100% guarantee entry into heaven. Free, forever, and sure. The Lord suffered the sacrifice, the separation, and the punishment on the cross of Calvary so we never would have to. These are the things that work. I remember just before I got saved, I was trying all sorts of stuff. I even tried dabbling with the occult. And I had a few very interesting experiences, let me tell you. But it would drive you to distraction, trying to keep a track of your sins, trying to pay them off. It's impossible. But I am so glad the Bible says that things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And that is why he says, you'll see it, anybody that comes to him. So what happens to all the stuff false religion gathers in? What happens to all of the people that believe in false religion? Time is wasted. Their money is wasted. Their efforts are wasted. Their families will be cut down like the silage whenever the farmer comes over with the combine harvester, the silager, whatever cuts down silage. That's wasted. That's gone. You've been robbed. You've had your life and effort stolen. Your family literally programmed to go down the broad road that leads to destruction, murdered. What about the praises sung? Sung to false gods, to a God that is nothing like the God of the Bible. Taken by the ministers. Goodness, it almost sounds like the communist government creaming off. Like in Ukraine, when all these billions are given into Ukraine and Zelensky creams off the top 50%, buys himself another $75 million yacht. And then his generals cream off another 30 or 40%. And then the guys below the generals, they cream off another little bit. And the guy in the front, on the front line, he's lucky to get an extra magazine of bullets. And that's exactly what these organizations do. They cream off all of your efforts and they keep it for themselves. God never sees any of that. What about their praises, son? I have a powerful verse. I think it's in Isaiah 42, verse 8. God said, I am God, my praise will I not give, no, my glory will I not give to graven images, and I will not give my praise to anybody else, and I will not share my glory with any graven image. I've butchered that terribly, but that's what God said. I don't share. I'm a jealous God. If the praise, the glory, the offering was given to me, it's mine. And if you take it, you're in trouble. Don't. The families that go to church, all gone. If they're not worshiping the one true God. Can you imagine living a lie and thinking that I put money into the plate. I was baptized. I had consumption. I had my confirmation. And I went up and the priest or the minister prayed for me. I'm still feeling a wee bit jittery about this stepping off into eternity. But the minister said it was okay. Can you imagine That person's face when they step off into eternity. And they're not welcomed by a Saviour that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All they hear is, "Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Can you imagine the betrayal when it's far too late to do something about it? That's why God gave us a brain. That's why he gave us the Bible. So we can compare these things against what's going on in the outside world. And we can say, hold on a second. That's not what God says at all. What about these stories? They're not biblical. Teacher, that story that you just told was never in the Bible. Or you told it in such a way it doesn't match in with the rest of the stuff in the same chapter. You're lying to us. There's one we didn't mention. The Lord inspired Paul to write Timothy, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Do you know what God calls people that do those things? He calls them traitors. Do you know what they used to do to traitors back in the war? They'd put a bullet in them and they wouldn't even care if they were buried or not. Do you know what God said if you do in a case like that? Said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, lest ye be a partaker of their plagues." God doesn't want that. There's people that look religious, and they may even mention the name of Jesus. If that was the case, half of Derry would be going straight to heaven, because Jesus is much mentioned on their lips. But if they don't talk about the Lord in the right way, warning of sin and judgment to come, reminding that there is a free gift of everlasting life, paid for in full by the Lord, but must be accepted by a repentant soul. The Lord said they are nothing but traitors. And you need to stay away from them. You might think, "Oh, if I go to the likes of a Bible believing church, I'll have to carry a Bible to church. I'll have to read the Bible at home on the days that I don't get to church. Oh, I'll have to come out to church again on Sunday night. Oh, I'll have to come out on Wednesday. Oh, I'll have..." It's not a case of have to. You'll get to. You will draw strength from, comfort from, wisdom from, peace from. You will start to see things more clearly. All the other stuff that's going on out there, it is mentioned in the Bible, but not in a good way. It warns us about it. But the preaching of the cross, the getting it to the lost, encouraging those same souls to make a decision before it's ever too late. And then the strengthening of the seasoned Christian and even the newborn in Christ to go on with the Lord that gave his life for them. Friends, that's what it's about. And I know sometimes it is heartbreaking when you see people fall by the wayside. When they stick a knife in you, and they don't have to be saved to be doing that, but it is heartbreaking sometimes. But the Bible says, what a friend we have in Jesus. He'll never leave you. He'll never cast you out. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let you down. He gives us the recipe for the best life that any soul can have. And it's in Romans chapter 8. And this is what the Lord said through Paul to the church at Rome, the Christian church at Rome. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to those that are called according to his word." No, to those that love God and to those that are, goodness, I'm doing badly, called according to his word. In other words, to those folks that are saved, and to those folks that are listening to Jesus. Make sure you're listening to the Lord. Not to the liars. Not to the thieves, the murderers, the destroyers. Those that would encourage you down a different road that will do nothing but consume everything that you have with a vague promise of hell and never deliver. God loves each and every soul on the face of this world. He loves them enough to offer them the free gift of eternal life. But to those that accept that, One of the verses we read was, I am come that they might have life, that's eternal life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God has a truckload of promises and blessings for the saved soul that will turn up. That is guaranteed from God. There is only one Saviour. There are many thieves and liars, robbers and murderers. There is only one Saviour, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Stopping there. Thank you for your very good time. I hope nobody has their roast in the oven and has it on timer. I just say it's 20 past 12. I appreciate your indulgence this morning. Let's sing hymn number 27 in the book, in the wee black book. Number 27 is Nearer, My God, to Thee. If you're able, we will stand as we sing, and then we will be dismissed with a word of prayer. Hymn number 27 in the wee black book.
Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, hey, God, hey.
attention this morning. God bless you. As you go home, safe travels to each and every one of you, because we all got here in Wales and all going home in Wales, so safe travels. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Well, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Heavenly Father, with your loving mercy, Lord, and you make gifts of salvation for Jesus, Lord. Thanks for the message, Lord. Store up in the heart, use it many powerful in our lives, Lord. Through your heart, a new Christ every week, and may it be Christ every Lord. May you be in every work of our hands and our thoughts and our deeds, Lord. And Lord, may we praise that good will give and Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pass your homes to safety, Lord, and bless our family members, whether travel, whatever, or away from our families, Lord. Jesus will bring in power, Lord, and save friends and relatives as well, Lord. Those to your homes to safety, and help and bless our lunch and our numerous family. For their honor, for our good, Jesus Christ,
amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, God bless you. We're all dismissed. Take hands and fellowship just there for a little bit.